This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, now it's just kind of a consolidation for the grain trade after USDA released its latest production estimates and updated its supply and demand estimates both domestically and globally. The focus starts to shift to South America. USDA has made its last production estimate adjustments most likely until January. And so we'll see an increasing focus on South American weather. And, of course, traders will continue to monitor the weekly export data that comes out for corn and soybeans and wheat, as well as the crush data and for soybeans and ethanol grind for corn. So they'll be monitoring those demand issues, but on a day-to-day basis, we're going to see increasingly a focus on South American weather. Right now, that South American weather is very good, very favorable for good yields. It's very early in the growing season, so there's time for things to change. But really, as we go through the next 60 days, we really start to set the tone for what the weather pattern is going to be in South America, how big a crop we're going to be. The CONAB, which is Brazil's equivalent to our USDA, came out with estimates to start off the day of their soybean production at somewhere between 89.3 to 91.7 million metric tons. That's around 3.3 to 3.4 million, billion bushels of soybeans. That's well below local private estimates that have been as high as 96 to 98 million metric tons. That's providing a little bit of support for the soybean market as we head into the new week, as well as the tightness of stocks that we continue to see due to strong demand for soybeans and soy meal.
To help get a better feel for what stage of growing season South America is in, Suderman drew some parallels between their growing season and ours.
Yes, yeah, so draw some parallels, and there are some differences, but overall you could say that they're really kind of in mid-May of our growing season to draw some parallels between us and them. So there's plenty of time yet to go for the market. But as we look at their growing season, it tends to be spread out over a long period of time. As far as they have a wide window in which they can plant, it's just that the earliest soybeans then they can follow with a second corn crop, which is called their Safrina corn crop. And so that's probably the more significant question is getting the soybeans in, get them harvested so they can plant the full season corn crop then behind that, and what will that corn crop produce? Right now it looks like the improvement in moisture situation in Brazil is allowing them to catch up with their soybean planting. They're still trailing the normal pace, but they are making rapid strides toward catching up, and they now have good moisture for establishment of the soybean crop. And for now, I think we have to assume trend or higher soybean yields. But then the question is, the delays that they had in soybean planting, how much will that delay the soybean harvest, therefore delay the Safrina corn planting, and will that push the corn pollination then into their dry season come 6 months from now? And so that's the big question at hand. It's too soon to be able to answer that, but right now we can assume normal soybean yields, and then the questions would be about corn down the road.
Back in the States, we are expecting some snow on our weather forecast, but Suderman says that this weather shouldn't really affect the markets too much.
Well, that's one of the difficult things, because for the individual farmer that's impacted, it's very significant. But for the nation's crop as a whole, we're talking about 1 to 2% of the nation's crops that are unharvested that are affected by the snow. So it's a relatively small percentage overall, and therefore something that traders really aren't paying a lot of attention to, maybe a degree of support level. But really what this cold weather that's ushered in the snow is going to do now is it's pushing the storm track far to the south and to the east. And so for the next 10 days to 2 weeks, we should have some pretty good weather, drying out weather, so to speak, for continuing to harvest this year's corn and soybean crops. Right now there's just 10% of the soybean crop and 20% of the corn crop still in the field nationally, and the bulk of that is going to be in pretty good conditions for getting out over the next couple weeks.
Suderman also addressed how the prolonged harvest and the cold weather will be affecting the planted wheat acres.
That's an ongoing debate right now, primarily in the Midwest. The plains have been largely planted. The Midwest is where the big delays are, and specifically Missouri and Illinois are the greatest concerns. I think there's no doubt we will see some reduction in acres. The question is, will farmers want to go in and plant late when it's going to be, the soils are going to be so cold and not really be able to get a crop established, and wheat prices really don't look that attractive? So if we had a tighter supply, this would probably be a more bullish factor, considering the fact that USDA is projecting an abundant supply of this year's surplus carried over to next year. It's not much of a market factor at this point. But basically, we can say that about a quarter of the nation's winter wheat crop that is planted is going to be going into dormancy, lacking good development, lacking the type of root system that it needs to be able to handle harsh winter cold if there's no snow cover at the time that that harsh winter cold arrives. So it's something we're going to have to continue to monitor throughout the winter, not just here, but we have very similar conditions in Russia, too, over about 50% of Russia's winter wheat belt. Here again, if they have good snow cover, we should be fine come spring. If they don't have snow cover and a harsh winter cold comes in, then we could have some real problems.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
If you could design the perfect farm insurance policy, it would probably look a lot like AgriPlus from Country Financial. With AgriPlus, you get all the benefits of a standard farm policy plus higher limits on the coverages most important to you. Best of all, you can choose the coverages you want, so you're not paying for what you don't need. For help on achieving financial security, see me, your country representative, Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville today, and find out more about AgriPlus, custom-made farm insurance at an affordable price. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge and know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service Crop Specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company Crop Specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
A sure sign of the holidays is the aroma of homemade pies and cookies baking. You'll need plenty of fresh farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter for baking, plus fat-free half and half for creamy pumpkin pies, and lots of Prairie Farms whipped cream to top your desserts. For dunking those holiday cookies, serve tall, refreshing glasses of Prairie Farms milk. And don't forget the 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice for lots of vitamin C. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Are fuel prices costing you a fortune? Area Diesel Service can help with agricultural diesel solutions modules. Over 1,000 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower, and these performance modules aren't just for planting and harvest. There are modules for medium and heavy-duty trucks and your light-duty diesel pickups. For details, call 800-637-2658 or visit the new redesigned website today by logging on to areadiesel.com. That's areadiesel.com.
The weekly Illinois Crop and Weather Report was released. Corn and soybean harvest continued last week. Activities included fall tillage and nitrogen applications. There were 5.8 days suitable for field work for the week ending November 9th. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.42 inches, 0.26 inches below normal. The average temperature was 44.2 degrees, 0.8 degrees below normal. Corn harvest was 87% complete, 5 percentage points behind last year, but ahead of the 5-year average of 84%. Soybean harvest was 91% complete, 5 percentage points behind last year, and behind the 5-year average of 93%. Sorghum harvest was 83% complete. 84% of the winter wheat has been planted and 52% has emerged. Winter wheat condition was rated at 3% very poor, 3% poor, 34% fair, 58% good, and 2% excellent. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 50% good, and 16% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 7% short, 78% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 80% adequate, and 10% surplus. This week I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about healthy snacking.
Well, the key is, you know, everybody snacks, but the key is we want people to select snacks that are healthy snacks, because snacking really can contribute quite a few nutrients if they're selected properly. So what we want people to do is select nutrient-rich snacks and foods, and these are foods that provide the most vitamins and minerals for the fewest calories. So, for example, an 8-ounce serving of 1% milk provides protein, calcium, vitamin A, vitamin D, and other important nutrients that our body needs. If you compare that to, say, an 8-ounce serving of a sports drink, that gives us 50 calories, but it does not give us any nutrients, and those 50 calories basically come from sugar.
So they're empty calories.
They are, yes.
And why is it so important to focus on these nutrient-rich snacks, just to make sure we're not consuming a bunch of empty calories?
That's one of the things. And, of course, it gives us a positive way to look at foods, because we can look at a food and say, okay, if I select this, and basically if we look at the five food groups, I know that if I select from one of those five food groups, I will be getting eating a food that will provide valuable nutrients in my diet.
So what kind of snack foods can we choose from that are nutrient-rich snacks?
There are so many. Basically, what we want to do, again, is just look at the food groups. When we're looking at things like fruits, you want to select brightly colored fruits. If you're having a drink, if you want it to be juice, then look at that container. Make sure it is 100% juice. So many people buy something thinking that it contains a large amount of fruit juice, and if you carefully read the label, you will see that it only has like 10 or 15% fruit juice. So read the label. That's very important. So along with that, we also want to select vibrant colored vegetables, and really the color is the key. Deep yellow or orange fruits and vegetables tend to be good sources of vitamin A, and we know citrus fruits are great sources of vitamin C, so do look at the color and select those brightly colored foods. If we're eating grains, we want to make sure that they are whole grains, and that provides us with lots of fiber in the diet. For dairy foods, we want to select fat-free or low-fat milk, cheese, or yogurt, excellent sources of many different nutrients. And then for protein foods, we want to look at lean meats, things like poultry, fish, eggs, and also beans.
And one of the problems that we have here in America is that we are overfed, but we're undernourished. And I'm sure that our snack foods are contributing to that.
Well, probably, as you know, lots of people snack, and that is true. One of the things we tend to do is we will grab foods that are convenient, but that doesn't mean that they are nutritious foods. So on one hand, we are getting plenty of calories, and that's true for both adults and children. On the other hand, we are getting calories that usually come from things like sweets and fats and aren't providing those important nutrients that our body needs to maintain health.
A Twinkie is pretty easy to grab.
It is.
And I've heard a lot about the benefits of protein. Should we focus on snack foods that have protein in them?
Protein is important. It's kind of the nutrient of regard right now. And the reason for this is actually protein foods provide us, they give us satiety. They make us feel full. And that's important, because many of us snack because we're between meals. We feel hungry. So if we eat foods for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and even snack foods that have some protein in it, it will keep us feeling better and less hungry. And this is especially important for young children, too. They do snack a lot, and those snacks should provide key nutrients in the diet, and certainly providing protein foods is a benefit to them.
Very good. All right, Joyce, are there any final thoughts you want to give us before we go here today?
Well, I would just remind everyone they can check out our webpage, which is stldairycouncil.org. And also, if they're looking for dairy-friendly recipes, check out our Facebook page, and you can find us at STL Dairy Council.
Again, that was Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.